This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. November is Men's Health Awareness Month, so Talkspace wants guys to know that being prepared for life's biggest challenges and opportunities means prioritizing mental health, too. Talkspace can help you go beyond fine-tuned workouts, supplements, and productivity hacks. Talkspace can help you fine-tune your inner life so you can succeed in being the best version of yourself in any situation. And with Talkspace, you can get therapy from anywhere and on your time. You can even text your therapist between sessions. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace takes most insurance, and most insured members have a $0 copay. Men's Health Awareness Month is the perfect time to reach out to Talkspace. Now, get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com. That's Talkspace.com, promo code SPACE80.
Get laced up.
Let's go.
It's time for Banter with the Boys.
Well, welcome back to Banter with the Boys, Fast Laps, where we got the Mexico recap and the Brazil preview. Joe, welcome back, buddy.
Thank you. No, welcome back to you.
Yeah, welcome back. I haven't been here in a while.
It's been a second.
I feel like for Fast Laps.
I mean, we haven't been here in a while. I guess Mike and I were here.
Oh, yeah. You guys,
Mike and I did a virtual video.
Yeah. That seemed to go well.
I think it went very well.
That seemed to go well.
I had a good time.
What did you use? Was that OBS too, all of that?
No. No, we didn't.
No, it's a whole thing.
Yeah, we used something else.
Oh, God. Okay.
That's okay.
Secret sauce.
Secret.
It's not that secret.
Secret sauce. Well,
happy to have you back.
Yeah. Know? Well, happy that we can all be here in person, including Kev. What's up, dog?
We almost
Mike,
didn't.
What's up?
Yeah. Hello. I'm Mike. Here again. I'm happy to be back. Yeah. It's been a long time since I've been in this chair.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to be here again.
Yeah.
No, so. We're all back. We're all happy-ish to be here.
Happy-ish?
Yeah. It was here it is.
Fun race.
Here it is. It was a fun race. The one that took place, like, a while ago, the Mexico recap.
Yeah, these like,
but you know,
hard to remember. I feel like after a while,
for sure. So that's why we're here to remind people. You know what I mean? I don't know if
how many
other podcasts go into, you know, and we don't even go into that much detail. We could go into way more detail. We cut it off, but
true.
Like, you know, so maybe people are still looking for a Mexico recap.
Maybe.
So with that, let's just roll right into it, Kev. Let's get into our Mexico GP recap. And welcome back for our Mexico GP recap, our pre-race banter. We're talking about the quali, the practice, yada, yada, yada. You know what it is. Usually I turn to Joe for any notes on that. Was it eventful enough for notes for Joe?
Not really.
Nothing. Which is good. That's
no,
good.
No, I literally have... Oh, Lando had some car issues in FP2, apparently. Like, he had a bad weekend leading up to the race, except for the quali.
And the only thing I got... Wait, was this Mexico? I think so. FP1, kick head was fast in FP1,
oh,
I believe.
Okay, yeah.
Which was cool to see. But like third and fifth.
Yeah, and then again, FP1. Red Bull had a new floor for a Max this weekend as well. That's the only thing
I had.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, nothing crazy, nothing wrong with that. Our starting grid for the GP, Lando, Charles, Lewis, George, Max, Kimi, Oscar Piastri, Isaac Hadjar, Bierman, and Yuki. But the finishing 10, Lando, Charles, Max, Bierman. So can't wait to hear what you got to say. Oscar, Kimi, George, Lewis, Ocon.
Okay.
Bortoleto. So interesting way to end the race there. So let's just get right into it here. Let's just start off with Alpine because they were the only... They're the lowest team with two finishing cars. So that's it. Worst of the cars that didn't DNF. That's really all I have. I mean, things are just bad. I mean, generally bad. And there's no look. So the only look is what we were just talking about off air, if you will.
Yeah.
Is that God forbid, if it rains this weekend in Brazil.
Sure.
During the GP, then maybe Pierre Gasly can maybe get some points, but I don't know. I'm not holding my breath. I don't know. You guys got anything loving to say about Alpine. Nothing bad.
Never.
No, never.
I wasn't gassing them up per se, but I mean, like, if they are making like any moves, Brazil's kind of the one to do it, I think. I'm almost wondering if, I mean, you guys probably know better than I do. Have they given up completely on this year's car? Like, they're not giving any upgrades?
So I would imagine.
We can't expect something surprising for Brazil.
Last I heard is that they're just completely off it. They're looking at next year. They're just, Renault stopped developing this car, like, stopped developing this engine 8 months ago.
Yeah.
That's why the power has not been in the car at all.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe we'll see something happen in
2026, man.
Woo!
Yeah, truly.
Mercedes power.
That's it. Yeah. Which is true. So
Mercedes power. You never know. They could come back.
Bounce back for Alpine.
It's possible. Here we go. It's possible.
Here we go.
Maybe.
All right. Let's see. Next up.
They need to figure out who their drivers are.
Next up. Calm down. Well, for one of the seats, buddy.
Yeah, true, true.
Tell me to calm down.
All right. Aston here. Alonso, DNF. Stroll, 14th. Alonso's car was retired for, all I could find was really just like a possible brake issue, I guess. So they just decided to retire it, so nothing else got worse.
Yeah, was this the race, remind me, was this the race where he wasn't told to pit, he just did it and retired on his own? Or was that the race before, like, the race?
I don't think that was this one. I don't
remember, actually.
Okay. I don't think this was this one. Again, bear with us. This was a minute ago. But I don't think that was this one.
No, I think the person who this time had pit and just retired was Hulkenberg, wasn't it?
Well, Hulkenberg ended up having to retire because of a power unit issue during formation lap.
Well, correct. So he
he retired just before they even got to start.
No, he raced, didn't he? I thought he started. He raced his first stint. He drove through his first stint, and then he had to retire when he went into the pits because they couldn't get the power issue figured out. So they just said, you know, heck it, just get in the garage. You're not going to score points. Let's just save the rest of the engine.
Well, either way, we'll look it up. We'll look it up because I don't know. I thought he didn't even start, but either way.
Unimpressive for Aston.
Yeah, no, obviously unimpressive for Aston. And, I mean, Lance spinning out after that, or spinning out early, and then after that he wasn't really able to ever rebound.
Yep.
You know, but he beat the Alpines. Woo-hoo! All right. Next up after this, now, I don't know if we're waiting to talk about the Liam Lawson, Marshall thing. I think that's coming up, so we'll wait. But Liam also DNFs, and then Isaac after a P8 quali, not able to finish with points. Kev's boy. Yeah, we got to find some F1 Isaac Hedjar cards. Big sad
from Kev.
Big sad.
Unfortunate from Kev. Race from them, but you know, yeah. It happens. This is a pretty demanding track, so.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Nico was racing.
Yeah,
For some reason, I thought he didn't even make it out of the formation lap.
He was having power. Power issues in the formation lap, and they just kind of told him, just roll with it, and we'll see if we can fix it.
Yeah, and they weren't able to get things going.
And they weren't able to get it fixed, and he was just struggling out there, just pushing as hard as he could, but couldn't really make anything happen. And so they just said, we're just going to save the engine, just save the rest of the parts, just retire, get out of the car.
Sure, you're done. It's over.
Go take your bath.
Williams.
Hedjar didn't retire.
Liam retired.
Liam did. Okay, I thought you may have said Hedjar. Yeah. No, Liam. That's my bad.
Or Lawson, or Liam.
Yeah.
But what about Williams?
I
do that. Now, we were talking before we started this. Does Williams, they have fifth locked up?
I don't think it's not locked up. It's pretty. It's like they're in a really good spot. They are at 111 points right now.
Like, are we like 70% 30 here, 70% leaning towards they got it locked.
I think so. Yeah. Okay. So
I would maybe even give it more. I don't think any
more
team
than
has
that even. Okay.
Yeah, especially with how much the other teams are fighting each other. There's no one who can really trailblaze forward and
sure. Yeah, I mean, so like their main competitor currently is VCarb, and they're 39-ish points away.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough to make up within four races.
Yeah.
Especially with another race for them with a DNF and a P13 finish.
Despite despite how badly Williams has been turning up, I really feel like there's good pace in the car right now.
Yeah.
They just are like, they're making mistakes or something's going wrong. Albon has been off pace recently, I will say. I don't think he's like really done his best.
Sure.
But Sainz has shown great potential. It's just something goes wrong every single time.
Tell me, I don't pay the closest attention to Albon, but I feel like I recall him usually struggling in like the later races in the year. I feel like he usually tends to struggle in these last couple races.
You know, it's hard for me to say. I've really only been paying attention to him this year, a lot. But it's possible. I mean, neither of them have had like a great year up until halfway through.
Right.
He himself, Albon, is, let's see, he's eighth currently. So he has put in some points.
I mean,
he's quite far ahead than Sainz is, to be fair. But like recently,
Sainz had a really slow start.
Yeah, Sainz has a really bad start.
Right.
So still giving Albon his flowers, obviously. It's just recently, I just feel like he hasn't been to form.
Yeah.
And Sainz has been surging ahead, but it's just been really bad luck. I mean, I think in Mexico, he had pit limiter issues. So every time he went to the pit, he would get a 10-second penalty. And so that's painful. Just like, or drive through. And then he'd go through, get another drive through because he was still speeding. So it's like,
it's like
so
painful.
Yeah. It was so incredibly painful to watch him. Like, because I think, where did he start? He wasn't in points, but I think he was, I don't think I he do was too far
Q2,
off.
Q2,
right?
I think.
Let me
right?
see. Starting grid.
I'm guessing 13th.
He was 12th.
Oh.
So, not in points, but close-ish, I guess. Albon did climb a bit. He started in 17th and then 12th, but I mean, like, we had five DNFs, right, or so?
Three. I think three DNFs and Alpine, so yeah, five.
Yeah, good point.
You're right. Yeah, three DNFs and then the Alpines.
So you gotta, like,
well, you know what's
getting
interesting?
15th is not awesome.
You know what's really interesting? On the official standings, now this doesn't make sense. It doesn't show Sainz as having DNF'd for some reason, even though he definitely did.
Right.
Hmm.
But on the official standings on the F1 website, it says he finished in 17th. No, it doesn't. Never mind.
Oh,
no,
wait. Okay.
To be fair, he did finish in 17th, but like...
But the other cards have no contest.
But it's showing him as...
As 17th. Yeah,
interesting.
Weird.
Interesting.
That might just be like a technical thing I don't understand.
Yeah.
Who knows? Semantics.
File a complaint.
Yeah, okay, I'll do that.
Yep.
But yeah, I feel like they've got pace. It's just a matter of, you know, keeping it on track and their car working, I suppose.
Right.
But otherwise, yeah, pretty disappointing. It was a hard one to watch for.
But again, the body of work as a whole, can't be that disappointed in the entire season. You know, just hopefully they can finish out strong. Lock up fifth. And nobody would have had them other than you, right, Joe? Or who had them fifth?
I don't think any
of us had them.
Oh, yeah. None of us had them fifth.
No, I had them sixth, so I had them the highest out of, I think, us. But going into the
but nobody would have thought they would.
Yeah, going into halfway through the season, I'm like, Williams could do it. Williams could get fifth, right? So they've had a decent season, and if they aren't working on their car anymore, they could have a decent 2026. So we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. The historic team on the rise. Mm-hmm. On the rise. Let's see.
Oh, and I do have some news about them when we get to news.
For Williams?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They made an announcement, I think, yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I think I know what you're talking about.
Oh,
yeah.
Sweet. Cool. Yeah, bring that on. Dude, it's Red Bull next, technically, with Yuki's P11 that we're talking about. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Max, all I had was he was just out here mowing lawns early on, really sending it. The angle of the video that you showed me before we started... from somebody in the stands is just pure insanity.
Yeah.
I mean, the kahunas, like, truly, like we say on him.
It's still crazy seeing him do it from the camera angle F1 provided, but, like, from that phone view, you see how fast he truly was going the entire time he was going over that grass. He, like, it almost looked like he didn't slow down. Like, he was...
No, I imagine him flooring it all the way
crazy,
through.
Crazy. Crazy. Yeah, so gotta give him props for... I guess not putting it in the wall. I think any lesser driver is in the wall 100%.
For sure.
Right? Like, I mean, it was crazy move. He did give a hand. He did give a position back that he took.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there were a lot of wrong things that happened here, and there were a lot of penalties given out, or there were definitely a lot of things noted, and there were a couple penalties given out. I don't think this is not me hating Max. I just feel like he cut the corners a little too much at times. He was driving a little too fast under the virtual safety car at the end with Charles. He gained a lot of time there, and nothing was even. I think the fact that nothing was even like noted just kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
I know.
I'd feel a little bit better enough if it was at least noted, and I was like,
how much time did you see? Do you know?
He grabbed like straight up, like I feel like six tenths to a second. I feel
yeah,
like.
That's long.
Did you see that Charles actually made a comment in regard to Max under the safety car?
What is
that? He made a comment to his engineer, being like, whoa, Max, that's a penalty for sure. You caught up so much under the safety car. Da, da, da. He goes, make sure they look at Max, and I guess they looked at Max and decided everything was
kosher.
Was kosher.
I don't know, man.
So,
listen, I don't want to say it's 2021, but FAA are keeping his chances alive, okay?
I want to point out that they've got way more information on his telemetry than we do.
You're right. I'm a side observer. You're completely correct.
I think that
I'm a side observer.
I am of the standpoint that
I was like, what?
Him running off the side of the road and like cutting the grass, right?
Multiple times.
Especially because he gave the position back when he did that to, I think it was Lewis, or was
he
it
ran
Charles?
Lewis off the road.
No, we're not talking about that.
Okay.
In turn one, lap one, turn one.
Yep.
I think he ran off the road. I think it was Charles he gave the position back to, right? And that I had no quarrels with. I'm like, okay, you know, you did your thing. He did overtake somebody off the track and gave the position back right away. That's fine. I don't think he should have gotten a penalty for that. I think where he should have gotten the penalty for, if he was going to get a penalty, was when he was racing against Lewis and he was wheel bumping against Lewis. I was like, I could see him taking a 5 second for that.
Yeah.
And I was a little surprised he didn't take one, to be fair. I think all of the arguments about him going off the road and him forcing Lewis off the road was like, you know, they were racing that dive bomb that Lewis made on him. Lewis was never making that corner. With how deep he took that and how late he broke, he was never making that corner.
No.
Especially not with a car on the inside. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that was Max forcing him off the road. I think that was Lewis going for a gap that wasn't there. So I think if he was going to get a penalty, it should have been for the wheel bumping. But c'est la vie.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he was overlooked a little bit this race. Like he made some moves that were a little questionable. I think one of the arguments I had immediately, and I still think I'd have to like really talk it out. And I don't even fully believe myself currently, is like, he was so far away from Russell. Mm-hmm. He was so far ahead of Russell that it doesn't make sense that he should have to give the place back to Russell or anything. Right. Mm-hmm. That being said, going off track, keeping your speed, then coming back on and still being ahead of someone who's you're kind of sort of fighting with, or at least is right there. It's still a little weird just because it's like, well, yes, it's unlikely that George would have got him anyway, but we don't know because he went off track and then he stayed in his position. That still could be seen as gaining an advantage a little bit. At the end of the day, he probably didn't, but it was a little weird that none of it was really like noted.
I would have been more inclined to agree with that if it weren't for the fact that he had more than a car length ahead of George Russell.
Sure.
Like literally he was at parity with the two Ferraris, and that meant that George was fully behind all three of them. Mm-hmm. And at that point, like, George isn't fighting that position, so like there's no reason for them to give it back. Sure.
As for Yuki Tsunoda for Red Bull, qualified in points, didn't finish in points. End of story. I mean, that's
end of story.
Yeah, that's
sit,
rough.
Sit.
Tough.
Gotta finish in points, man. Haas. Bierman finishing fourth, but Ocon with ninth, so...
Are we at Haas already? Holy cow.
Yeah, yeah. We're at Haas.
Yeah. I mean, I wore the whole getup. I got the whole getup. This was the great day. Like, I was on a call with Joe when we were watching the race together, and the whole kerfuffle that happened during the race where, you know, Max and Lewis had their thing, and just Oliver Bierman was just there. And he was just like, don't mind me, I'm just gonna come on through. And we saw him get ahead and slot himself into fourth, and then they slapped Lewis Hamilton with that 10-second penalty, and I literally was out of my chair like, oh my God, Oliver's on the podium. Like, what are the odds that he holds this? And as the race went on, I was like, okay, this is looking kind of bad. And they made their one, which might have been seen as an off call, having him pit that second pit stop that was late. It was in reaction to...
almost everyone else doing.
Yeah, it. Like pretty much all the front runners except for Max, right?
I think Max did it too.
No, I don't think he did. I think Max took a one stopper, didn't he?
Well, maybe you're right.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain Max took a one stopper, and so
yep, one.
One.
So yeah, so pretty much everyone but Max did it, right? And so Haas took the call that they saw everybody else making, and to Haas's defense, they're not used to running this far up.
I don't think
so.
There was a lot of one stops.
Yeah, there were a lot of one stops. I mean that was an interesting not a move that I saw a lot of teams doing, but yeah, it was a weird thing seeing them all kind of move on to another stop near the end there. I don't think it would have changed much for Behrman, unfortunately. Either. I mean, you got Verstappen chasing you. There's no way.
On fresher tires and the faster car, the better driver, he's going to get him.
Yeah, they like, see him as like, this is not like a possibility he gets you. This is like, he's definitely going to get you.
No matter a win.
Right. Yeah, and so like, let's pitch you and see if maybe you can get him back. Just
right.
Like,
exactly,
know,
yeah.
Maybe, right?
And he obviously couldn't.
Yeah,
that's fine.
But fourth.
But fourth is awesome.
One of Haas's best finishes ever.
Yeah.
Right? In his rookie season, Ollie's best finish ever. Now there's a bunch of talk about, you know, the Tifosi are clamoring for Oliver Behrman to come to Ferrari. So it's pretty exciting. And then Esteban Ocon, gave him his flowers. He raced his way up into the points.
He got did. Points.
Yep.
So yes, that's a double point finish for Haas. We are very happy. These upgrades we got at COTA are paying dividends.
Surely.
Dividends. You mentioned Tifosi, so let's go with Ferrari right here because Hamilton finished eighth. Charles getting P2.
You look
Joe
tired.
Looks stressed out.
You remember what my podium was, Smelty?
I have it here, Joe. You know.
It's right there.
Your podium was Max, Lando, and Lewis.
Do you know how excited I was that he qualified third? I was like, oh my God, it's going to happen.
He's going to get a podium.
And I won't get a perfect one because hopefully Verstappen is nowhere near the podium. But I could get like a good amount of points here and you guys wouldn't get that many.
Mm.
And then, oh man, that 10-second penalty, bro.
Killer.
Killer.
Is that standard for the cutting the corners, 10?
Mm.
Okay.
I think recently it has been.
I thought
been.
It was slower.
It has
or at least at the later part of like
for
seasons, we've seen them more.
This season, it has been the standard for leaving the track and gaining an advantage.
Yeah.
For that particular,
yeah. So,
that
so
particular.
Rough. And then, yeah, it just got worse and worse. Like as the pit stops kind of happened, he just couldn't. There's just no way he was catching up. Yeah, it was really, really rough. He started in a really good position and just, yeah, that 10-second killed him, man. That was really, really rough.
I was nervous when I saw that him and Max were fighting because, boy, those two, they get their elbows out.
I was excited.
No, and that's what I put down for underneath, you know, the Max Bulls. It was that it was nice to see a legit fight between those two again. Mm. Just, you know, real quick, little brief one.
God, they fight like the Dickens.
Yeah.
They fight like the Dickens. Yeah, I love it. All right.
Yeah.
Probably a
deserved penalty, though. He did, like, it was like a weird cut. But he did definitely come out on track way ahead of everyone else, way more than he should have. And the commentators were clamoring like his team should have told him to back
up.
And I was like, yeah,
absolutely.
Probably. So it's like a Ferrari L. I don't know if it's exactly Hamilton's fault. It's definitely
mixable.
He's the one driving, right?
Mixable.
Yeah, so
yeah, right. The team's not driving the car, but they can also see how much ground he just gained on that. So whatever. Okay. Still, we need a Ferrari fan. We'd love to hear from you. Comment, whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's see, who would be next? Is
Leclerc second? I mean, really quick, Leclerc second.
Yeah, right? I mean, Charles.
Yeah,
great finish.
He was able to hold P2 because we didn't even talk about this yet. That weird VSC at the end of the race. So, okay, I don't know if we brought. Did you guys? I was kind of in my own space for a second there. I was going nonverbal for a second. Did you guys talk about the Marshall and Lawson thing that happened yet?
Not really, because I was saving it for the quick thoughts.
Okay, I'll just knock it out right here, really
go
quick,
for it.
Because
go for
like
it.
The I think these are like the two like biggest like that plus the Lawson thing. So Sainz spins out, hits the track a little bit, and pulls forward almost completely out of the track.
Yep,
right.
A VSC comes out.
And the commentator said he looks like he's in a safe spot.
It looks like he's in a pretty safe spot.
Yeah.
Yep. It makes, I totally agree, double yellow that section, that sector. Fine. That makes sense. But a VSC to pull a car probably 10 feet, little weird. Lawson, had a very random or impromptu pit stop. So he was very far away from the pack. And so Marshall's went on track thinking it was clear. And there's a video of Lawson turning the corner almost directly into the Marshalls. Very, very quickly, I'm going on a side tangent to my tangent. Very, very quickly, people online were like, I can't believe he would do that. He didn't even move. It's like, that's not on Lawson even in the slightest.
No,
that's on FIA. Not. That's on the stewards. That's on the marshals.
100%.
100% not on Lawson.
No.
I bet another point was about, it's good he didn't move because then he's unpredictable if he moves, right? Yep. So it's good he kept his line.
Yep.
We get a VSC for a car that's off track completely, but marshals are standing on the track with the car incoming within and like a yellow flag. That's crazy to me.
So I think I heard a rebuttal to this because it's been a hot talking point for the last 2 weeks, right? And I don't disagree with a point that was made, or at least it's a wrong call for the FIA to make, but I see why they made it, and it's because they were overcompensating. They watched that happen, and they saw the Carlos Sainz needed to get into the space. Carlos Sainz was not as far in as he was supposed to be. His back tires were still out, and so that's why they waved the double yellows, was because he needed to get in. And they weren't able to pull his car in, so they needed marshals to get out onto the track and push his car in.
Onto the runoff
to push his car in.
Yeah.
So this person who I saw online was theorizing that the reason that the FIA did a VSC was because of the blowback from what happened earlier with the Lawson thing, that they didn't want to take a risk on something else.
Yeah. Oh.
So they overcompensated and did this, called out the safety car, to be like, look, guys, we do care about the marshals and we do care about their safety. And it wound up biting them in the butt.
Like even more.
Yeah, but the first one was definitely still a massive F up.
Like, huge.
You massively effed up.
But
I
see,
you can't make up for it with that, though.
I see where the logic comes from in their head now. Yep. And I'm like, this, I see like how it happened.
Trying to save face. Yeah. Like, that's
you're trying
all
to save face. Like, okay. Honestly. I don't think I would have even been. I probably would have been like, this is kind of weird. But I would, if they put the VSC out for the first incident with Lawson, probably wouldn't have hurt as much if they did it again for Sainz, because they're doing the same thing essentially, right?
Yep.
But it, because I mean, the same thing could have happened. Someone could have gone off just like Sainz and then hit the marshals as they're pulling out the car, right?
Exactly. Yeah,
so it makes sense that they slow them down. Marshals were. I think you're right, actually. I think that was a very good point. They did it because they're overcompensating because they misjudged a serious situation.
Yeah.
People were yellow flag track.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And they
me.
Were not the last guy out of the two, or girl, whoever, sorry. But the last person of the two people running back across the track, like, wasn't even halfway back across by the time Lawson was coming around that corner.
No, I think they were still running into the track to pick up more debris. I feel
insane.
Like, yeah, they were like halfway done.
It's just insane.
Yeah, it's just, and at the end of the day, I don't blame the marshals either. It's just a horrible lack of communication. It was bad timing
in
general.
But somebody needs to be in their ear, like, no.
100%. Huge, really bad timing, because, I mean, like, they're not expecting someone to be pitting right there, but Lawson is having issues. It's still like,
well, there's cameras everywhere. Like,
that's
you would think there's got to be way more
there
eyes
was just
involved.
There was some break in comms, obviously.
Yep.
Yeah. I doubt every single marshal has, I guess, I don't know, actually. Do they all have, headset? Like,
I don't think they do.
I think there's probably someone managing
like a walkie-talkie
them.
Or something.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's not going to be
like a supervisor for every corner or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, so wanted to just say that since we were on Leclerc. The yellow flag came out, stopped Max from getting Leclerc. I think Max probably would have.
Max
honestly.
Would have gotten him, for sure.
Piastri was also chasing down Behrman. Probably a little less likely he got Behrman, but it would have been a lot closer.
Would have been close.
Would have been way closer. So, yeah, that was kind of the end of the race there, too.
Cool.
Kind of a bummer.
Real quick, because we got to keep this thing moving,
let's do it.
Definitely want to hear, obviously, your take on McLaren. Real quick with Mercedes, Kimi finishing P6, George Russell finishing P7. They might have made, I just put here, they might have made the most unmarvelous switch ever.
This is entertaining, though.
Because, I was just like, what is going on? What are we doing? Like, it was just such a weird moment to make it happen. And I agree with why they were switching, but that's the reason why Oscar ended up getting passed. So I just it annoyed me, but whatever. I think Oscar probably would have got them both at some point anyway, but they just accelerated that process.
Do you think they should have kept positions, or do you think they should have let Russell through way quicker?
I wish they would have done it quicker just to see what happens, but I agree with Russell, and I got his calm. That was amazing, and we'll go over that in calm callouts, but I agree with, I wish they would have done it quicker, and then I'm glad he's the one that said, I'll give the position back if I cannot catch him.
Yep.
You know, no big deal, but let me go.
I mean, it's got to be a tough pill to swallow, though, after finally getting ahead and making no traction, and then he has to give
the position back.
Yeah,
it was so satisfying for me when he got the call. All right, swap the cars. I could feel his dread.
Oh yeah, for sure. But it was the right call.
100%.
It was the right call, and look to next week, I guess. You know.
Yeah.
But, right. But McLaren, Lando with the P1. That's it. Wow. This is the last one.
Yeah. Wow, yeah, teams were really spread out, except for Alpine.
Extremely spread out.
Yeah, we're very close together.
Yeah.
But,
except for their two DNFs.
I mean, Lando Verstappen did, right? He kept P1 through T1, and he just brought it home, and that's all she wrote for Lando. So,
did he get a Grand Slam? Did he?
No, I do not. Oh, actually, he. Grand Slam just being quali in the race, or he finishes in, well?
He starts in first, finishes in first, holds first for every lap, and gets fastest lap.
I don't think he held first either.
I think you somebody else something, held
you
first.
Have, right? You have a. I'll let you look up on your tab there to see when they pit, but.
I don't think he got a Grand Slam.
I don't think so either.
I don't remember.
Either way.
It's still a dominant drive. Great. Like, it was a dominant absolutely drive.
Yeah,
dominant.
Absolutely dominant drive. He finished 30 seconds ahead of Leclerc. So, he it was in the bag. Kind of food. I mean, he takes the lead of the World Driver Championship. Really big thing to note as well.
Yep.
He is now
1 point.
1 point ahead. Is he only really 1 point?
1 point That's ahead crazy. Of Oscar Piastri.
He's 1 point ahead of Oscar Piastri. So it begs the question, it was a tough race for Piastri. He capitalized on it being a tough race, something he wasn't able to do in Baku. Piastri kind of out of form recently.
Extremely out of form recently.
Do you guys
recently.
Have any takes on why that might be?
He's got to be in his head. Dude. I don't know, because it's extremely weird. He's definitely nowhere near as aggressive as he was earlier in the season, like. And we weren't comparing him to Max by any means. We were like, he was making like Max-esque moves, you know, as far as being aggressive. So it's just, I don't know what happened. I don't know if he's trying to play it more conservative and it's just completely backfiring on him. He's just trying to be a little bit safer after that whole, I can't remember what race it was. It's probably like, what, 5 races ago when him and Lando got into it a little bit. So I don't know if that kind of changed him. Was it that moment that's now things have changed a little bit?
Maybe.
Even though he got the upper hand at that moment. But I don't know. It's weird. It's extremely weird. Because what's Lando's lead right now? 1 or something?
1 point?
Yeah. So.
What do you mark?
I think he's historically been not fabulous in the Americas. I mean, obviously he did pretty well in Canada. But even then, there was still a third place finish. Like. Yeah,
he might
historically. Oh, and he did win Miami, didn't he? I don't remember. That was a while ago. Either way, I feel like historically he's not been super great in the Americas. He struggled in the Americas. And, I mean, he's struggled his time here. Like,
he did win in Miami.
Yeah.
His last win was Zandvoort. So it was after break. Zandvoort was after break.
It was, yep.
Yeah, it was right like after break. But that was also after Lando had DNF'd and Leclerc had DNF'd.
Max Verstappen has had more wins after break than McLaren as a whole.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Have you heard the Kimi Antonelli T102 or TiO2 theory? It's like a stupid internet theory that, like, Kimi Antonelli, anytime he's in a state or a country where a TiO2 is like a type of food dye, and it's banned in certain countries. And anywhere that this food is banned, he finishes outside the points, and anywhere it's legal, he finishes in the points.
Who figured this out?
Some guy on Reddit.
Who knew this?
Somebody else on Reddit has turned this around and found Oscar Piastri's bugbear. And it's like anywhere that he needs to fly to that's outside of Europe, if he needs to fly to a country, he notoriously finishes poorly at. Versus if he's in like the Europe area, then like he notoriously finishes well.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's like his average points were like 15 when he has to fly versus like 25 when he doesn't.
Yeah.
Or 20 when he doesn't.
That's
it's
kind
crazy.
Of wild.
So it's just like
you're insane for thinking of this. Like,
yeah. Comforts just aren't you know, you don't have your comforts around.
Who knows?
I don't know. That's crazy. Yeah. You're in somebody else's world.
Yeah, but I mean it's maybe
goofy,
it's the pressure. Yeah.
It
I mean,
is crazy.
Maybe it is the flying thing.
I think more realistic. I think it's a combination of him struggling with being at the front of the championship, you know, first time fighting for a championship that drags on a driver, but also couple that with him having car problems. He's been struggling with car balance and whatnot, and the team can't figure out what is going on and how to get him to a more comfortable position. I think those are really the big things that are affecting him.
Another little pattern that I'll call that I also saw online.
You guys go way too deep into the interwebs.
Just scrolling. Yep. I'm not looking anything up. But
I don't know if that's better. Or
almost every
this
single
type of
time
stuff is coming up. Or
right?
Scrolling.
I'm on a podcast for F1. Of course, it's going to come up.
Yeah, right.
What do you mean by I'm on a podcast for F1?
Yeah, but goofy stats or something. Or
you like to look over them on TikTok. there was a pattern. There was a pattern seen almost every time after Lando has won a race, Oscar's won the next one. Almost every time. The only time that hasn't happened was Red Bull Ring and Silverstone, where Lando won both, but then Oscar won Spa right after.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
And then Lando won Hungaroring Ring, and then Oscar won Zandvoort. Yeah. Yeah. So
other than Oscar's four in a row or three in a row, but four in a row compared to Lando.
I think one of us should put Oscar.
So I know who I'm putting in first.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Just to keep the pattern alive, you know?
Hey, man.
What do I know?
I'm a human. I see patterns.
Right, fair enough.
All right, let's move on here. Yeah. To calm call-outs, we should really get a transition for that, you know, like over, you know, or something, you know what I mean?
know what I'm saying? Live pitching the podcast.
So what do you got for calm call-outs?
I think I only have the stuff you have, so you go for it.
All right. Well, on lap six, the TV commentator, and there was a lot going on the first few laps, in case you missed it, but the commentator just goes, oh, what a melee! Like, things were just, it was carnage, is what was going on.
Yes.
And then there was, okay, Kev, I'm going to need your help on this next one here. But then there's this one from George, and it was awesome. They wanted him to take care of his tires, and he was a little upset. He said, I've got a car in my ass, okay? A car much quicker than ours. Which was Piastri, by the way. I'm trying to hold position. I've got plenty more pace than Kimi here, and we can fight for a podium. I'm happy to give the position back if I don't achieve it, but my tires are just getting f***ing sacked here. And they were just like, understood.
God, that was such a great call-out.
It was a good call-out. I have two more Russell ones that I want to call out as well.
He's getting fired
up. Because it was all around the same things. I'll need a little help for this one, too. I apologize. No. I think this was before yours. He says, Russell says, I've got a McLaren up my ass. Want me to let him pass? His engineer says, no, thank you. Russell responds with, okay, just checking.
Yeah, dude, that was so good.
And then I think that was lap 38. Lap 41, Russell's engineer says, tire service temps are too high. And he responds with, Marcus, I've got a car up my ass.
Dude, George really took it home this week.
He was mad, man.
It was so good.
This was not Scooby-Doo George anymore. No,
these are some Fernando Alonso call-outs, and I am here for it.
Mark, I've never heard him use his engineer's name before.
Yeah, same.
He was so angry.
I didn't even know his engineer's name was Marcus, to be honest.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God. Yeah, so he was for those few laps, he was on one.
You want me to let him pass? No.
No.
Okay, just checking. Okay,
just
checking.
But just imagine being in the car, knowing there's literally nothing else you can be doing right now, and they're just like, hey, get your stuff together right now.
Your tires are too hot.
Get from here. No, golly.
Oh, man. Right.
I'm crying.
Whew. All right. Let's see. Let's see. Quick thoughts from the boys. We didn't have any quick thoughts. The only one we did was the Liam Lawson thing, barreling down towards the marshals, and we already covered that, so all good. I guess you had one little bit of news, so we won't do the transition for this. I don't even know if we have one for news. Beep, 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 beep. Like a little
live pitching again. Live pitching.
Yeah. Anyway, so.
So you heard the same news. So Williams actually announced, I think in the last day or two here, that they were going to be changing their logo and the way they represent themselves to an older logo that they used back in their original years, just changing the W, right? Really changing their logo. And so moving forward, that'll be their new logo starting in 2026.
Okay, new life.
New life. And new they made new a big life. They made a big precedent of talking about how this is to represent their times when they were constructors, champions, and how they were at the front of the pack, and they said that they're aiming to do that again. So big news in that.
Yeah. That's cool.
Along the same lines as that, I'm looking it up right now. They also have a livery coming this for Brazil. They're doing a golf livery, and I love the golf liveries. McLaren had it for a little bit, and then Williams took it over. Oh, I love the golf liveries. We're going to see that baby blue with orange. It's going to be great. It's going to be majestic.
Also, Lauren Mekies has made announcements saying that they are going to continue improving this Red Bull car. We are expecting to see an upgrade coming in Sao Paulo for Max Verstappen. It is in part to help Verstappen in the championship, but also because they want to get their processes down. Lauren Mekies is really doing a lot of upheaval from where, you know, the prior team principal left it. Oh, no.
Joe has, for you Spotify listeners, Joe has taken
Joe does look like he's about to cry.
It over his heart. He's processing this right now is what's going on.
During the transition, we expect him to call his mom.
Yeah.
So she's been calling me. Oh, man.
All right.
So, yeah, that is my news.
That's the news.
I mean,
it looks cool. I looked at it.
Oh, does
it? Are they going to be competitive off the bat next year?
Yeah, so Lauren actually did say that he goes, this might affect our car for next year. We know that.
They're just focusing Max. They're going to get this man his fourth championship.
I mean, that's part of it. But also the other part of it is that Lauren is trying to, like I said, he's trying to rebuild a lot of things and change the structure of how the team is ran. And so that's coming from the technical side. So
gotcha.
Yeah.
I suppose, yeah, I mean, you don't get more time.
They want to get this assembled and get this figured out now when they have all the variables, as opposed to before next year, when not only do they need to try and fix things that are left over so that Lauren can make changes, but also they need to work on their car, a brand new car, at the same time, you know.
Okay.
So yeah,
I got something juicy, but we're gonna wait.
Ooh,
let's move on.
Ooh,
okay. Let's move on to the preview of the Brazil GP. Kev, hit that, whatever. What's it? Transition.
Transition.
And I am here to bring you up to speed for the Formula One MSC Cruises Grande Premio de Sao Paulo 2025. We have a sprint weekend ahead. Of course, as always, our fun fact, Interlagos was built on a plot of land unsuitable for housing, so they turned it into a track. Mike, with the weather.
Oh, wow, this came up to me rather abruptly. I was just showing this off to him. I was just showing him the weather. So currently it is showing the weather for Sao Paulo on Sunday afternoon at 68 degrees Fahrenheit, roughly about 20 degrees Celsius for our
Are you nervous about something?
Our non-Imperial friends.
I saw 20% rain. There was zero when I looked this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Currently a 20% chance of rain, and depending upon who you're asking, they're saying that we could see more chances of rain.
Oh, yeah.
During the race, by the way.
Sao Paulo, yeah, so I read it would be wet, like, for the start, probably, and because rain was coming beforehand. It was like, but Brazil has, like, shocked us before.
Brazil is notably very rainy, especially this time of year. So
I will be letting that influence my predictions 100%. So looking at last year's Brazil race.
I'm sorry. If you hear a bunch of clatting, banging around, there is a very lovable, big-boned golden retriever upstairs. Oh, that's Cooper. Yeah. Okay, so it's the younger golden retriever just absolutely hopping around upstairs. So that's what you may hear in the background.
Stop us from getting up to speed, so let's go through last year's race. And before we even get to the starting grid, we have a bit of carnage to get through.
Yes!
Wet track. Stroll gives his Aston a nice little spin off track and into the grass, across the shoulder, tapping his front wing into the barrier. As he makes his way back to track, instead of taking the paved road right in front of him, he decides to cut through the beach, and he gets stuck there, ending any chance of him racing in Brazil. We're at the grid. Lando DeGeorge to Yuki in the top three. They lead the track off the line on an aborted start. Wrongly. A couple of folks were noted for starting procedure infringements, as they should have stayed in place instead of starting another formation lap. I don't believe any in-race penalties were given. I think it was fine.
Max was upset.
Max was definitely upset. He was like, they shouldn't have done that.
He's the one that pointed
it out. Wait for the green line.
You have to wait for the green.
Yep. A little later, we finally get underway through T1. George makes up the first position on Lando, with the Alpine of Ocon starting to fight Yuki for third.
You heard that, the Alpine.
Yep. Later in the lap, Checo in the second Red Bull spins and loses all of his positions except for one, ending up in 18th ahead of Albon. Ollie picks up a 10-second penalty for hitting the back of Colapinto. No huge damage, but a collision nonetheless. somewhere in there.
Take it easy, Mike Tyson.
Oh, man. Somewhere in there, Albon also retires from the race. All right. Max Verstappen, starting his race in 17th. By lap five, he is making his way into the points, getting past Hamilton and then Gasly. He keeps his stride and makes his way past Alonso and Piastri for 7th by lap 10, making up a position per lap. Woo! Lap 26.
That's insane.
And we see a bit of a moment for both Piastri and Lawson. Piastri taking the inside and Lawson cutting in, sending him spinning. Reminiscent of this year's Coda. Not losing a ton of time, however. One lap later and we cut to Hülkenberg beaching himself on what looks to be an elevated drain after spinning through the wet. The VSC comes out shortly after and Hülkenberg is able to find his way back on track in the next lap. Some of our front running decide to make a pit as the track becomes a monsoon by lap 30. And by lap 31, the safety car is deployed, putting out Lando and Russell, namely, who had pit for new inters. 32, under the safety car, Colapinto's made an absolute wreckage of his car after finding the barriers while losing control on track. This brings out the red flag, during which we found that the marshals did help push Hülkenberg off of his impeachment, effectively disqualifying him from the weight race. What's up? Just a mid.
No, you're good. No, I think you should take a breath. You're killing it.
How you guys doing? Good? All right.
Good. I'm good.
Green lap on lap 34 as Ocon leads Verstappen and his teammate Gasly through the new lap. That's Ocon, Verstappen, and then Gasly.
You heard.
Russell and Norris behind them. The track's still very wet, and Lando seeming to struggle a little bit to get himself back up front as he goes off track while attacking Russell. Unfortunately, sticking behind. Two laps later, we watch Behrman take a turn and doesn't come out of it, getting into a spin and digging his nose into the barrier. Low damage, he pulls himself out and gets back on track. Just in time, three laps later for Sainz to spin into the barrier, taking a part of his wing, retiring himself and bringing out the safety car. We get a restart on lap 42. Ocon still leading Max, but not for long as he takes the lead into T1. A little further down, Norris goes off again, losing a handful of positions, including to his teammate. Russell gets past Leclerc a few laps later after Charles finds himself off track slightly. Lap 69, we finally make it to the end of the hectic race. Verstappen leading two Alpines by 19 seconds. A brilliant day for Alpine, truly making their season.
Nice.
Brazil was nuts last year.
So good.
It was a race and a half, and it took like the full 3 hours to get through it, I think.
The whole time you were reading that, it just felt like... Da, 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 da,
can truly. I just like say, like, my favorite race of all time currently is Nico's first podium, right? I love that race. this race is a close second because like the absolute like masterclass out of Verstappen. I mean, I can't. I don't have words.
Yeah. It was a race, that's for sure.
I forgot he started that back or that far back.
I can't remember. Do you guys remember why?
He took. Mm-mm. I think he had a grid place penalty. Plus, he took. No, he just had. He had engine parts. He's replacing engine parts, if I remember correctly. I think he qualified lower than he should have been, and then took penalties. Like he qualified in like second, and then
He was actually knocked out in Q2.
Oh, he was.
And then he did take a new ICE before the race.
Okay.
And so he got a 5-place grid penalty on top of that. So he actually qualified 12th.
Okay. Well,
I stand. So that was bad qualifying.
Yeah, bad qualifying.
There was also rain. Oh, it's because rain and red flags during qualifying.
Yep.
This was quite possibly the best race I could have ever have hoped for as an Alpine fan, and I will never see it again.
I understand.
But I hope I do. It's not going to be this year. It's definitely not, but... Oh, that was exciting. That was exciting. Other than, I think Pierre podiumed, when was that? 2 years ago? 3 years ago? There was that one random one. Yeah. I'm trying to remember where that was.
And then I think Esteban had podiumed the year beforehand.
Also podium.
Yeah. Like, they both just kind of stumbled their way into podiums.
Yeah. Hey, I'll take it this week.
Was it Monza?
They're not going to be in my podium, but
yes,
I'll take
it. Yes, it was Monza.
Monza, yeah.
Yeah.
Where, who, Pierre?
Yeah, he podiumed in Monza in 2023. Come on, show me it.
Give it to me. Surely one of these days.
Yeah, okay, he was still in the AlphaTauri at that time.
Yeah. That's what it was.
Did he podium again in the...
I could have sworn he did.
I don't know. AlphaTauri, that makes sense. I knew it was a while ago. But yeah, okay. All right.
You're still riding that high.
Sprint race? No, I'm definitely not. Not after this season. It's been really crappy.
He podiumed at the Dutch Grand Prix in 2023 as well.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
I knew he podiumed in 2023.
Okay. So he's got his fair share. So he should just be in a better car, man. I'll jump ship with him. It's fine.
Dude, he would actually be crazy good if he were in a front-running car.
Mercedes locked
up. Genuinely put him in a Red Bull.
That's not going to happen.
No, you're right, it won't.
And, no. I don't know where he could go. Anyway... All right, sprint race again, yeah?
Yep.
So, there's that.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, should be a fun weekend.
You already gave us the weather, that's good. Points update. Joe, 47 points. Mike, 53 points. Me next. Smelty, 52 points. Mike, in the lead with 53 points.
Look at me go!
Look at you go, with four races to go.
With four races to go.
You got to start taking chances, son.
I am going to. I'm going to have to.
George Russell, Charles Leclerc.
I took a chance with Lewis, and he failed me.
Hulkenberg.
I took a chance with Lewis, and truly, I was almost there.
Yeah,
almost
that would have been crazy. That would have actually been crazy.
We're starting with me?
Joe first. We are. Me first? What are you talking about?
I think we're starting Mike with first. Me. He needs all the help he can get over here, okay?
You got it.
So, in third... is going to be George Russell.
What the heck?
And I'm calling an audible on this, okay? I'm calling an audible on my podium here. So George Russell in third. In second, we're going to have Max Verstappen.
You're crazy. You're crazy.
You
not
don't expect it to rain that much, do you?
And in first is going to be Oscar Piastri.
Wow.
Bing, bing, bing. Wow. Where's my air horns?
That makes my podium so much easier. That's crazy. Smelty.
Oscar Lando Max.
You didn't even think about it.
Oscar Lando Max. Okay, well, then the decision is incredibly... You guys made my job so easy. Lando's taking the win. no, I could do Max, though. Maybe I should do Max.
Max Lando Charles.
Max would be a really good idea. I'm changing my mind.
Charles.
I know I shouldn't be doing this. Max.
He already
you did Lando second. No, it's okay.
Do Oscar. Oscar Lando. Charles Lando.
George Russell.
I
thought you'd be happy. I picked George Russell.
This is so tough. I'm very proud of you.
I just got over saying, wow, you guys made this really easy for me. You didn't, actually.
Let's go!
Not even a little bit easy.
I'm glad my audible changed it.
Oh, man.
Have we taken anybody but Max, Lando, Oscar, Charles, George, and Lewis this year?
No. Who else would we take?
I know. That's all of them, right?
Who else would we take?
I just rattled them all off.
Yep.
Kimmy. Kimmy.
Yeah, right. Kimmy. Not taking Kimmy. Oh, man.
He beat Charles. I mean, he beat George. Sorry.
He sure did.
This is so tough.
He beat Charles. I mean, I'm sure he has, actually. At least once, right?
Gabby Bortoletto.
Oh, dude, it's his home race. Beerman. I'm so excited.
Oh, yes. Ooh, points Max, for Gabby in a home race.
Max Lando Charles.
Max Lando Charles. Charles.
Yeah. Okay. I gotta get someone else other than yeah. Okay.
I see. You don't want to go Oscar because you want to.
I wasn't going. Oscar's in a bad form, and right. He did not do well last year here.
Okay, for whatever it's worth, I came into here my podium decided that I was going to pick Max Lando George.
But the you pattern,
he messed me up.
I'm actually rooting for you. I'm rooting for you. No offense, just because I do want to see the pattern.
I want to see the meme happen.
I picked Oscar to win too. I'm cool with that.
Oh yeah, high five.
Oscar, Oscar, if Lando gets second, then you win because you have Lando second.
Yeah.
And it's all good. And then we'll just put Max at third.
Yeah. And then I just get a
six pointer.
That's good.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. And then we can get Charles in there. That'd be cool, right, guys?
Nope. Right, guys? Right, guys?
Oh, I'm so far behind. It's not even happening. Hey, do you guys want to do any bonus points late?
So
late
you really need Charles.
Where are we putting Gabby Bortoletto?
We do need bonus
points. His home
points,
race.
Though.
I actually have
an idea for bonus points next year. Yeah, okay. Like, I'm thinking, okay, I'll just pitch this now because you've already been pitching
live
stuff.
Live pitch?
I love pitching
Hear this. This is, like, for our, like, two listeners, if you want to, like, pitch in, comment as well. What if we have a wild card driver? So we pick a driver from the bottom 10 that finishes this year to be on the podium anywhere next year, and if they eventually do get on the podium, we get, like, maybe 2 points. Oh. Just, like, given to us for free. Like, even if we don't put him in the podium for that weekend,
that's kind of cool.
So like, it's like, okay, so like, Sainz is my wild.
But we
got to
come up
right?
with something else because like I think a wild card for the beginning. No. In addition to.
Oh,
right?
Okay, cool.
No. Okay, here's the question.
I like it, but it's bad.
Here's the question though: Are we taking bottom 10 teams or like
drivers?
No, so like 10 drivers.
Your wild
the
card can
the
only
before.
Be someone in the bottom 10.
So that's kind of whack though, because Carlos Sainz is like such an easy pick. Because like you think about it too, yeah, that also means that I could put Fernando Alonso on my podium.
Correct.
Yeah, that's fine.
Correct.
But maybe it's not.
Are you kidding me? That's what I'm saying. It's like Fernando Alonso.
But maybe we have to workshop a little bit. So maybe it's like the lower they are, the more points you get. Like maybe we divide it in two or something like that.
I say we pick the bottom five teams of constructors and one of those drivers. I mean, that actually doesn't work.
We
can still pick Fernando Alonso.
What if we just do bottom five drivers, right?
Bottom five drivers.
We have a.
Well, then that sucks because two fifths of it is Alpine.
Math. That's right.
So really, you only get to pick between three drivers.
I get to pick between three.
That's really messed up, son. It's not that funny,
Joe. Really, that's kind of
get
funny.
Get your stuff together.
It's kind of funny.
All right, I get to pick. I'm not on the pot anymore.
But that's more like a full season, right? The wild card is like a full season bonus.
Yeah.
I think we need like an every week bonus.
It isn't every week. You have a wild card driver. If they ever get in the podium, that's an automatic like point or
right
something
on,
like that.
Right on. But I think that's not going to happen.
I think we workshop it.
We need another bonus point, though.
I'm down. Yeah.
But like that one's a bigger point.
I like
you get more points for getting that one right. Yeah. Then we have like an every week bonus.
So, but think about it. You could get your podium. No, you couldn't. That wouldn't make sense. I was about to say you could get your podium spot on, and then you could also get. No, you couldn't do that. But you could get like 7 points maybe if we make the points big enough. You know.
I like the idea of like pick a driver, and if that driver gets on the podium at any point during the year, you get a small haul of points, just like 3 or 4 points, whatever, you know? And it'll be a one-time, just like...
Wait, we're getting detailed here.
Right? And then we can do other things bi-weekly, like pick a this weekend wild card.
Oh, yeah.
Who's your this weekend wild card who you think is going to finish in the points?
In the points?
Right.
I do like that idea. We did that something
be a,
like that
That'd
last...
be like a single point.
For a single point, yeah.
We did something like that last year, didn't we?
Because I can listen. We had
our podium or podium. We were just like it didn't matter what position. We just pick a podium.
Yep.
And then we also had
a wild
card. We change it every week. We change it every week. Yeah, we were like, I do like that idea.
Because I personally, I personally love watching the back teams. I love watching the midfield fight. Like the front pack. Like
it gives us and the listeners something to watch.
Exactly. Like it kills.
Mike's an idiot.
It kills me picking. I think I've picked 4 different drivers this year to go on my podium every single race. Like between 4 drivers, and like that kind of kills me inside.
No, we'll come up with some. I like it. I like it. We'll come up with some. Well, like you said, we'll workshop it.
We'll workshop.
You know, in the post off season interviews, the exit interviews, we'll see who comes back next year. But
yeah,
but we'll workshop it. We'll workshop it. Yeah. Well, Mike, thanks for being here, man.
Yeah, I'm glad to have been here. This was fun.
I love this. Me too. Fun.
Me too. Things started getting out of hand at the end, but it's
all right.
Joe, that was a killer up to speed.
Oh, thank you.
But it was a killer race. It was a killer race. It was spoon fed to you.
Yeah.
No, I was just like, that was awesome.
I was like, do I want to do like an up to speed? And I started doing it, and I was like, oh, I need to do an up to speed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was a crazy race.
No, it was perfect. Yeah. I'm glad you did. Excellent job. Kev, of course.
Thank you,
great
Kev.
Job getting everything done for us, as always. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe wherever you listen to the banner, whether that's YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or iHeartRadio. And let's see, I believe we are actually here next week again. We're not. Okay, I lied. I like lying.
Yeah,
we are. This next week is our last week off, though.
Yeah, and then it's the end of the season.
It's race, and then we're done.
That's it.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, there's only 3 left.
Hold on, wait. Are we going Vegas, Qatar, Abu Dhabi?
Back to back.
That's correct.
Yep.
Awesome.
So this is our last break. So you guys get it. Boys better get ready.
I like those.
I'm so ready. So ready.
Oh my god. With that, let's get out of here, fellas.
Goodbye.
Peace.
That's an out.
Don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe. Tune in next time for more Banter with the Boys. Oh,